We have in Scripture a very overlooked form that comes through the pages like a wraith. You see it and you don't. Here and there it pops up. Very rarely is the name Melchizedek mentioned. A little bit in Genesis. And we might have known how important he was if we had noticed that even though he was not a Hebrew priest, the father of the Hebrew religion tithed to Melchizedek. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and we must wonder why. Never again is it mentioned except when Paul refers to Melchizedek and speaks and says that we who are in Christ are in the order of Melchizedek. And again in the Psalms, there is a mention of his name. Now that was 4,000 years ago. 2,000 years even before the birth of Jesus. And it happened that he came one day into a city called Salem in Palestine, and he taught about one God. He limited his teaching to what could be understood, but he kept alive there the idea of one God, and he converted Abraham. And then we hear no more about him. We do learn from Paul that Melchizedek was neither born nor could he die. And then we begin to see that we are speaking about a different kind of a form than the form that we know with our sense mind. We begin to understand other forms somewhat similar to Melchizedek, the form that walks out of this world and takes its body with it, like Enoch, like Moses, like Lao Tzu. And we see there is a form that is indestructible, a form that can even be crucified, but it can't be held in a tomb. It returns. And we begin to learn that these forms that are indestructible are the thought forms of the divine mind. And they are different than the thought forms of the human mind. For instance, over here by the fireplace there are some lilies. Any of us can take those lilies and crush them right out of existence. That's because they are not divine thought forms. You can take your own physical form, like some of the priests are doing in India, and you can put a torch to them. You can burn them right out of existence because they are not divine thought forms. They are human thought forms. They exist only because there is a human consciousness to witness them. And then comes an understanding that the divine thought forms, which are indestructible, are the kingdom of God. And that the glass darkly between these thought forms and our own experience is the human consciousness, which is not aware of the invisible reality of the kingdom. Always it comes as a shock to find that whoever you are and wherever you are still vulnerable. And though you may not understand it at the moment, I think you will understand it very clearly today, as we enter into the kingdom of the unconditioned mind, that realm where all that is present are the thought forms of the Father, self-activating, self-revealing, self-perpetuating, maintaining eternal life. We are here to witness those forms. We are here to bear witness to the truth that God is the only creator, and that all that God creates is beyond the possible destruction of any power known to man. And then we are to learn how to walk in that creation which is beyond the destruction of the human mind, of the human force. Our entire idea in all of Scripture and in all of the infinite way is to find this real kingdom and to step out of the false where destruction is possible. Now we are told there is no good and there is no evil. And right there we are perplexed, perhaps because we see good and we see evil. And so we can quickly clarify that to augment that statement with one word. There is no good matter and there is no evil matter. As soon as we learn the unreality of matter, we know there can be no good matter or evil matter because there is no matter. And then we can understand why there is no good and no evil. We can take that, accept it or not, and then having disposed of it, we're ready to proceed into the unconditioned universe, where matter is not, where spirit is. Now, after we look at the forms that we can destroy and recognize that because they are destructible, that includes the human form, that these do not consist of the substance of spirit. Now, I have wondered about something which happened in Joel's experience, and it was when in the late 50s he witnessed this growing trend to control people's mind through a level of advertising which was below the perception of the individual. And single-handedly, he was able, standing in truth, to stop a movement called subliminal advertising, which was able to persuade people, unknown to their minds, unknown to their five senses, unknown to their conscious realization, to do certain things that they had no intention of doing, but were persuaded to do by these hidden persuaders. And I wondered, now, how could he stop this? It was going on TV. It was going on in movie theaters. Signals were being flashed below the perception of the individual. And they were being persuaded to buy certain things and to react a certain way. It got so that Joel felt they might eventually just put signs on TV invisibly saying, buy Cadillacs. And the results were so astounding in what had been done that he felt people would actually go out and buy Cadillacs whether they could afford them or not. And his reason for stopping it then was to prevent the power of mind over mind. But I thought, how does he do it? How does he, one man, get laws passed in Congress that outlaw subliminal advertising on television in England, in the United States, and throughout all the theaters of this country? He didn't know who was doing it. And from that came a realization that is somewhat startling. It isn't anything new to us, and yet it is ever new. As you stand in the consciousness of spirit, you are in that which is the one omnipresent power of the universe. And that's where your work ends. There's nothing more to do. Having won yourself with the realization that all is the power of the Spirit, the knowledge that that Spirit is omnipresent begins to function in all that is in your consciousness everywhere and nullifies the human consciousness. The human consciousness is no different than that lily that you can crush. The human consciousness is not God's creation, and it too is destructible. It is destructible by its opposite, reality. And when you touch reality, reality functions where the human consciousness had seemed to be. Now, the startling truth is this, that every evil in this world happens only in the human consciousness. There is no such thing as evil anywhere else. It can only happen in the human consciousness. And you can confirm this with Scripture by realizing that God is all and God is divine consciousness. And certainly evil isn't happening in divine consciousness. Therefore, where is it happening? If God is all and God is divine consciousness, where is evil? And you find you can't find it anywhere in reality because God is reality. The evil that you witness then must be a mirage. There is no place where it can happen. It cannot happen in divine consciousness, for it is the will of the Father that we be perfect. Therefore, the evil that does seem to happen must be a mirage, and we finally locate where that mirage is taking place. In the human consciousness. Now I'd like you to take a great jump. You're riding down the middle of Main Street, and so is another car, and here's the crash. Is it happening in God's universe? Is it happening in divine consciousness? But divine consciousness is all. Where is it happening? It is happening in the human consciousness. But did it happen out there on Main Street? Or did it happen in the human consciousness? Remembering that God is all and God is real and the only reality is God's Spirit, where does an accident occur? If it doesn't occur in reality, where does it occur? And the answer is, if it does not occur in reality, it only occurs in the human consciousness. It does not occur in reality. Therefore, where do you meet this accident that cannot occur in reality? You meet it in your human consciousness. And that's what we want to do because we are to clarify the meaning of the unconditioned mind. Now, in this chapter is revealed One astonishing, miraculous truth, which is another great key to how you and I, through our perseverance on the path of truth, will reach the realization of that form which is indestructible. Now we know it is the will of the Father that we be perfect. Be perfect as your Father. Therefore, recognize the will of the Father for our perfection. We next realize that the only will there is the will of the Father. And therefore, that perfection which is the will of the Father is established because there is no will to oppose it. And there's no reason for spirit to wait when we are told that the kingdom of the Father is complete. Now, the will of the Father's perfection in you is therefore complete. And that perfection, present where you stand, is always there. The spirit which enforces its own will in your perfection also manifests its will in your perfection as your invisible spiritual form. And the will of the Spirit, through its divine consciousness, manifests perfect spiritual forms universally. These two are complete. All that is existent is the spirit and the invisible manifested forms of that spirit maintained in perpetuity in perfection. This is the kingdom of God maintained by divine consciousness. It is inviolate. It can never be destroyed or altered in any way. It cannot be manipulated or influenced. It is reality. It is the kingdom of God within. It is all there is. It is the perfect expression of the will of the Father, which says, "Be ye perfect." And all perfection is already completed in this will and maintained. The final step is this. This invisible perfection of all being can only become tangible when there is a consciousness to receive the forms of this perfect will and to bear witness to these forms. In the human consciousness, we witness the matter which we consider good and the matter which we consider evil. But it has no existence except in our own human consciousness. In our human consciousness, we witness the lacks, the limitations, the bombs, the earthquakes. They too have no reality except that they live in our human consciousness. And we find that we are unconsciously accepting the power of human thought. We are, for example, under the impression that human thought can drop a bomb upon us and kill us. That germ warfare can destroy us. We are under the impression that we can be destroyed, hurt, pained, crippled. And all of this is part of the universal human consciousness. Melchizedek represents the unconditioned Christ. And Melchizedek, the unconditioned Christ, is the invisible manifestation of all that is perfect in you. As you are able to see that nothing that exists in your human consciousness is a permanent divine thought form, you will see why you must change from your human consciousness to the consciousness of Christ within. Melchizedek realized, for in Christ within, you find access to the permanent thought forms of the Father, the invisible enters into your consciousness. The forms of the invisible are witnessed there by your Christ consciousness. They are lifted up through your Christ consciousness into visible, tangible manifestation, and these thought forms for you become those forms which are under the invisible grace that cannot be touched or violated permanently by the forces of this world. Now we are to bear witness to these invisible thought forms. They are now expressing. They are present in every business, in every home, in every marriage, in every relationship, in every possession. They need a witness, and that witness who lives in a human consciousness can never witness the permanent divine thought form. Every evil that takes place occurs in your human consciousness. But a human consciousness has no real existence. How can it if divine consciousness is all? Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is revealing there that he was not born. For how could he be born and also exist before Abraham? Melchizedek was never born or dying. And that was the revelation that your divine thought self, the Father's thought of you, which is your divine self, never was born and is never dying. It was before Abraham was. And that can only be experienced when you are willing to sacrifice your human consciousness, in which all evil occurs. You are never looking at a real problem. You are looking at your consciousness made external. You are never looking at a universal problem. You are looking at the consciousness of the world made external. Always you are witnessing what is in the individual or collective consciousness of the world. And you are giving it a label. And all of this is human consciousness expressing as. We are looking for a principle on which we can stand, which will enable us to step out of the false problems, out of the human consciousness which externalizes these problems, and it must be the realization that God is all. And therefore, the divine consciousness is all. And the divine consciousness being the only consciousness, if you are in another consciousness than the divine, you are in a consciousness that is not real. And it is in that unreal consciousness that you will experience that which is unreal but seems real to you. It is in the consciousness that is not divine that we are in the impure, conditioned consciousness, resting in the belief that there are conditions that we must overcome. And those conditions do not exist. They are only in the false consciousness that is not divine. Now, if something is not real, if there is no second mind, when you are told to transcend mind, how can you really transcend what does not exist? If there is one mind, how can you transcend the human mind? You could spend centuries trying to transcend it, when you can quickly realize it isn't there, and that is transcending it. Once you know it doesn't exist, it is transcended. But if it does not exist, what about its formations? What about the beliefs of that mind? Do you see then, to transcend the mind means to reject the beliefs of the mind that does not exist. To transcend the mind means to reject the beliefs of the consciousness that is not divine. If God is all, and God is truth, and God is power, and God is present here now, we are in the one mind. And the great secret of the unconditioned mind is that there is only one, and it is the mind of God. That one mind, therefore, being the only one, is the only mind you have. That mind of God is unconditioned. It knows no bad health. It knows no good health. It knows no poverty. It knows no wealth. It knows no opposites in the material world. If you live in these opposites, if you cling to the good matter in preference to the bad, or try to avoid the bad to find the good, you are living in the belief that the opposites exist. You are anchored in the false human consciousness. But there is here and there one who knows that truth is truth, and whatever is not truth does not exist. And that one knows that whatever occurs, not in perfection, cannot really exist, for only the one mind exists, and its one universe is in the divine image of that mind. All that exists in the universe of the Father is the perfect divine image of the one mind. That is the truth, and it is a present truth. So that perfection is everywhere that the one mind is. Everywhere, perfection is. And imperfection can only be a false belief because perfection is. Wholeness is. Harmony is. But if you believe in a human consciousness that there is such a thing as imperfection, as incompleteness, as fallibility, as bad health and good health, as degrees of things, do you see then that these beliefs in good and evil must become externalized conditions of good and evil? And the externalized conditions of good and evil can never be taken away from you until you have taken away your beliefs that there are conditions of good and evil. And so the place where you must stand is in truth. In truth, you bring to pass that miracle in which the mind, which converts itself into externalized forms of good and evil, is unable to function in your knowledge of the truth. As your mind opens to the truth that there is only divine consciousness tells you that your only consciousness can be divine. You begin to see the meaning of Christ. The one divine consciousness is already established as your individual divine consciousness. Christ consciousness is the reality, the only reality out of which you can function. When you accept that divine consciousness individualized as Christ consciousness is all there is, then you will not accept human consciousness. You are beginning to break the hypnotism. You are beginning to see that the Christ forms are never conditions or degrees of good and evil in matter. And you can look at the conditions of good and evil in matter and know that these being not Christ forms are not real forms. You stand on the truth that I have only one consciousness, the only one there is, the divine consciousness which is called Christ in me. And now I know why the kingdom of God is within me. My Christ consciousness within me is that kingdom of God. And if I stray from it, I'm in conditioned forms that will show forth only because they are externalized conditions of my false beliefs. The universal fears that become the individual beliefs do not exist in reality. You look at a bomb. A human mind thought it up. And you are giving power not to the bomb, although you think you are, you're giving power to the human mind that thought it up. And there is no such mind. The human mind is not capable of creating a bomb. Because there is no human mind. It took 4,000 years for the idea of Melchizedek to come through into the consciousness of the world we know today. That all that exists is the divine consciousness, and its forms are always in harmony. That which is not of the Father is not. and it makes no difference how destructive it appears to be. Your belief that there is another power that can be destructive, and my belief, and his belief, and her belief, the world belief that there is other power that can be destructive, is what materializes externally as the bomb, the flood, the fire. The world belief that money can go up or down is what materializes as inflation and deflation. The world belief that God is not the only power becomes a world consciousness which shows forth externally as the visible, tangible expression of this false belief in false forms. And these forms are not of the Father. They were not created. They do not exist except in the false world consciousness of which each human consciousness is a wave. We can step out of that. We can nullify world fear. We can nullify the belief in the reality of a bomb. We can nullify the belief that you can be polluted through the air and through the water. Just as Joel could nullify the attempt of the human mind to influence other human minds through subliminal advertising, you have that individual power, one with God, to be a majority and to remove pollution, war, fear, hysteria, epidemic, disease, and death from yourself and, in a measure, from those around you. How? By stepping out of the belief in a human consciousness. It never was created. Its forms are false. Its externalized appearances have no structure in God, no substance, and no law. And once you realize that any evil that occurs to you is not taking place out there, but in your consciousness, you are ready to move inside. Let's do it and you'll see what I mean. Let's take this accident now and let's move into the realization that God did not witness the accident. It happened in a material world. God's universe, the only, is spirit. Now we have it in human consciousness, and that's the only place it is. God is all. God is not a human consciousness. Therefore, there is no human consciousness. That consciousness which experienced the accident does not exist. So therefore, the accident is as false as the consciousness. God is all, and therefore, if I exist at all, I exist in God. God is divine consciousness. Therefore, I exist as divine consciousness. Divine consciousness is my consciousness. It never witnesses material forms. I cannot witness a material form in divine consciousness. I can only witness spiritual form. Spiritual form is very different. Truth has a form. Harmony has a form. Peace has a form. All of these are embodied in different kinds of bodies than we're accustomed to. Music has a form. Love has a form. These forms are present. In spirit, I open myself to them. I rest not in human thought forms, but in divine thought forms. And I do that by suspending the function of the sense mind, resting in the knowledge that present is the perfect thought forms of the Father. Every thought form of God is present in the invisible. I am stilling the senses until the thought forms of the Father are invisibly witnessed by Christ realization. In that great stillness, these forms come to me as impulses. And these impulses have spiritual substance. They are the invisible angels. They are the everlasting arms. They are divine idea. They are present in divine consciousness here and now. In them, there is no evil. In them there is no destruction, there is no war. In them is only the purity of the Father's consciousness. I am entering that pure consciousness of the Father, and it is entering me. And as I abide there, the pure thought forms, the Word, the spiritual wisdom of the Father crosses into my consciousness. All on the invisible level. And the truth that only goodness is in God, only wholeness is in God, only perfection is in God, this truth begins to dispel the illusions of the sense mind. Mind, visibly manifest as matter, is opening itself to truth. And as the truth enters mind, it nullifies the beliefs of that mind. It nullifies the false beliefs of the universal world consciousness in me. Until there is no belief there in the world of good and evil. All is an acceptance of the ever-presence of the substance of the Father. Only the presence of God is here. Only the power of God is here. Only the love of God is here. Only the perfect thoughts of the Father are here. And all that is unlike these is not. I drop my belief in those forms that are not like the Father, accepting only the perfection of the Father. His will that I be perfect is unopposed. I have no second mind setting up a belief that there is another will that can make me imperfect. I have no second mind. I'm in the One. My mind is crucified. The One mind I live in, and it lives in me, and it must manifest that perfection which is the will of the Father. This is Melchizedek realized. This is living by the order of Melchizedek. This is living in Christ. If you can do it for a second, you will learn to do it for eternity. And you will learn that the power of the One mind is always expressing your perfection, and there is no other truth to oppose that. Always your harmony, your eternal peace is being expressed right where you are. Always wherever you are, the right idea is. It only needs a silent witness. Nothing that takes place in the world of the human consciousness has any reality, and you transcend it by knowing it isn't there. Thy will is being done now, and thy will is not an accident on Market Street. Thy will is not somebody who comes up and steals my purse. Thy will is all perfection everywhere, and this is being done and maintained now, always, in spite of any appearance to the contrary. Any appearance to the contrary is a signal telling you that you have come back into the belief that beside the power of God, the will of God, the presence of God, there is another power, another will, another presence. And that is only your false human consciousness externalized as that power, will, and presence. Never is it there. It exists only in the false universal consciousness which you permit to be your individual human consciousness. In this manner, slowly, gradually, the inflow of the Spirit, with its warmth and its love and its truth and its power, impresses us so deeply that we know that the human consciousness is being dissolved. The Christ consciousness is rising. It is bringing forth into fruition, into visibility, those invisible, beautiful, perfect forms of the divine mind. And we silently bear witness to them in the invisible, never clinging to the outer tangible forms, because we don't have to. Whatever we witness in the invisible is ours unto eternity. Whatever you witness in the invisible has your name and address on it. It will never be touched or violated in any way, although it may appear in the outer visible from time to time that something of yours is being taken. Never fear. It's just like the body of Jesus being crucified and in 3 days returning. Nothing that you touch in the invisible consciousness can be taken from you. It is the law of the Spirit. And that is why we seek only those forms in the invisible. For only they are ours. Only they are indestructible. No more do we reach out for the quicksand of human thought forms. We learn that the substance, the law, the activity of divine consciousness within ourselves is the only protection we need in this entire universe. The only protection that we need is the knowledge that there is no second power in the world against which we need protection. Now, the Father will naturally show you signs to help you along this way, so that you will never be in doubt as to whether the presence, the power, the love is functioning. There will always be some indication for you. You must know that God is incapable of imperfection, and that the name God means your consciousness and the consciousness of everyone you know. Beneath their human consciousness, which is a veil, is their reality, which is the only truth that is present, and that is the divine consciousness which underlies all that we see and label as form. Beneath all the forms that change is the one divine consciousness. And when you touch it inside yourself, it and you are one infinitely. And then you can stand witnessing in the invisible the perfect forms, which then come forth in the visible as the perfect forms. And they are not scarred. They are not crippled. They are not lacking. They are not in pain. But they must be witnessed inside, in the silence, letting the Christ be that witness. That is our missing step. As long as you, with a human mind, wish to witness them, you will fail. And so it is said that he who lays down his life for my sake, he who loses his life for my sake, he who lays down his human consciousness and its beliefs and looks at those beliefs and says, I'm sorry, I can only believe in the perfection that is present everywhere. I'm not going to be hypnotized into the belief that imperfection is possible. Then you're laying down, losing your human consciousness. You're overcoming the hypnotism of that human consciousness. And you must see that unless we overcome the hypnotism of a human consciousness, it will continue to enforce us into the thoughts of the world, mesmerizing us to the belief that we think there is God, but also all of these so-called powers to hurt us. When you have, to a great degree, remove the belief that there are truly harmful conditions in this world, in your knowledge that God is the only power and the only presence, then you will find that harmony, peace, the absence of world beliefs, believe imperfection is possible. You do not believe God is all. And the mesmerism is that you have seen imperfection, and you have seen it out of a human consciousness, and you have accepted your human consciousness as real. That is where the mesmerism is. Your consciousness is divine. You're at the place where you have to trade in your belief that you have a human consciousness. And then the thought forms of the divine will show you that the meaning of the pure in heart, you have accepted that before Abraham was, I am. You have accepted that you had a pre-existence before this mind and body and life. You are accepting that figure which weaves through Scripture called Melchizedek as never born and never dying. You are accepting the one self. The self that was never born and never dies. We're not going to leave that hanging up in the air. As it grows with you, you will come to a very strange conclusion. You will come to the conclusion that if I had a pre-existence, if I am not a human consciousness, if I am not a personal life, a personal body, a personal self, if I am not a physical being, if I am spirit, then I really never was born. And that is Melchizedek. And that is the realization that Jesus did reach. No, I never really was born. I have always existed before Abraham was. I am. I always have existed, and I always will exist, because I am not a destructible, temporary form. And this is the realization of sonship. Out of the false consciousness which sees and lives in the belief of a temporary form, into the divine consciousness which knows itself to be the one eternal self, and then rejects all beliefs of a temporary, imperfect self in every way. Because what is not true cannot be. I cannot be the divine self and also a changing, destructible physical form. I cannot be the divine self and have been formed laboriously in a physical womb. Melchizedek was your name. Yourself. And that is why Paul says we are all, in this Christ work, priests in the order of Melchizedek. Paul could not teach openly that no man had ever been born. Jesus did not teach it openly. But he taught that we must be reborn, which is precisely the meaning of we were not born. Now, you can't tell this to the world. You can hardly tell it to yourself. And you've heard it quite a number of times by now. But finally, it comes to a place where you've got to take this in your contemplations until you can step out of the finite borders of birth and death and the belief that the expanse between those two is you. Because our message today is the unconditioned mind. And birth is a condition. Death is a condition. Birth is the belief in a new life. And there is no such thing. All life is God. It is never new. It is never old. It is the only life there is, and it is continuous unto eternity. That life, your life, is never born and never dying. And in the realization of that life as your life, not intellectually, but in the total willingness to know that my life being that life which is never born and never dying, that life is never harmed in any way, never destroyed, never pained, never hurt, never lacking, never in inflation or deflation, never in a flutter of fire. And then finally, because that is my life, that perfect life, what other life have I that can be in a fire or be destroyed? All belief in another life must be destroyed. And that is my rebirth. The belief that I have another life which can be on Market Street in an accident, another life which can be hurt by a bomb, another life which can suffer the good and the evil of this world, all of that is the false consciousness which divides his garment.